From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, good evening. Royals win. They take the opener, winning 2-1 in a very 2024 Royals way. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. The biggest series of the season sees the boys in blue do what they've done so often, and that is utilize outstanding pitching, elite defense, and supreme base running ability. Great speed. That, once again, the reason why your boys in blue pick up the win, now 70 games above 500. The defense in the outfield, the speed of Mike Kell and Kyle Isbell, the pitching of Michael Wacha, and then how about the job done by Sam Long, who's nice enough to dial us up after this win tonight. Unbelievable, Sam. An inning and two-thirds, four punch-outs, you go through three All-Stars. How good did you feel out there?
Hey, thanks for having me on. I felt good. It was good to come in with guys on base and get out of that without any runs scoring, and then coming out again in the seventh to get another big three outs to pass the ball over to Schreiber.
You know, striking out Stephen Kwan's impressive. Jose Ramirez is an MVP candidate. But the thing that stood out to me was, and I don't even know if you realized you did it, but one of the coolest flips, little bare hand flip to yourself and a cool little flip to Vinny at first base. That was the final out of that seventh inning as Josh Naylor kind of dribbles one back to you. You made it look cool, even if it was a slight fumble. You made everything look good tonight, man.
I appreciate it. Yeah, that one kind of had some top spin on it, some weird English on it, and I just tried to get my body in front of it, and it kind of popped up. I saw it right in front of my face, and I just snatched it out of the air. And that was nice, because once it was in my hand, I knew that the inning was over. I got three outs, and to preserve the lead in that spot was good.
You mentioned coming in that sixth inning with two on and one out, and you get out of it. I would imagine you were amped up after that sixth inning finishes, and then you go back out for the seventh to face the 2-3-4 hitters of the best team in the American League. What's the key to remaining calm after you've had such a high in the sixth inning?
For me, it was knowing who was coming back up, knowing what my game plan was going to be against them. So I went up to Salvi in between innings there in the dugout and showed him what I wanted to do against them and made sure we were on the same page. They ended up pinch hitting for Schneeman, and Noel was a guy that I faced in Columbus earlier this year. So I knew, sometimes when a guy pinch hits, you got to check the card again and see what you need to do. But I remembered my game plan against him. So to get that first out, against the pinch hitter, they're trying to get that guy on and start something. And so to get that first guy is huge. And to get the next two, knowing what I wanted to do with them to begin, even before that inning started, was definitely a key in going out and executing.
It was a big spot. It's a huge game. It's an even bigger series. How big does this series feel? I understand we're not even to the All-Star break yet, but what's the talk like in the clubhouse for this four-game set?
I think for us, it's knowing we can compete against anybody in the league, and obviously that Cleveland, they've had a great start in the first half, and this division is pretty competitive. So to be able to go and get game one tonight is good. But we know what we're capable of when we trust and have each other's backs each night. So the focus remains to compete our butts off and lay it all out there. And tonight was good to get game one.
Yeah, you guys certainly did that tonight. Nobody more so than yourself. Great job out there, Sam. I greatly appreciate the phone call. Enjoy this one. We'll see you out there tomorrow.
All right. Thank you. Take
there
care.
You go. Sam Long inside that Royals clubhouse. If you missed it, sixth inning. Royals at this time are down 1-0. Runners on the corners and only one out. They go to the bullpen, they call in the lefty, and he gets Bo Naylor swinging through a slider for the second out. But after walking the nine-hitter, he wants Stephen Kwan with the bases juice. The second time in the game, Kwan's come to the plate with the bases loaded, and he goes down swinging. Lefty on lefty, sure. It's Stephen Kwan. This guy flirted with 400 this season. He swings through a slider in the dirt. Impressive stuff to finish off that sixth inning for Sam Long. And then, as he mentioned, he comes out in the seventh after the Royals scored two in the sixth. So now he has a chance to pick up the dub. He strikes out the first batter that he faces. He punches out Jose Ramirez and makes a pretty slick-looking play on a Josh Naylor dribbler back to the mound. Royals win 2-1. Let's hear from the nearly 24,000 in attendance tonight on a Thursday night. Way to go, Kansas City. Hey, let's have some fun tonight, huh? 913-586-7610. That's the phone number. That's also the text line number. 913-586-7610. I got so much to say after this one, but I want to hear from you first. Let's start off in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Brandon, you're hitting leadoff. Go ahead, buddy.
Hello, Vern. What a game. What a way to start a series off. Wow, I'm so happy. It's just pitching all around tonight. I mean, a lot of times we're down in the bullpen and everything, but Walker, this is second out off his broken foot, and we just lights out. I mean, and then I gotta lie to you, I was a little bit worried. I go, now we're getting under the bullpen against one of the best teams in baseball, and here we go. And then Sam Long, where'd he come from? Had one out, two runners on the corners, and got out of that inning. He's one of the biggest reasons we won that game tonight.
No doubt.
And then the rest of the bullpen, where they've been all year, just boom, 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 lights out. Just shout out to pitching all around tonight. And
wait,
I just have one. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yep, nope, after you. Let's hear it.
I just have one question on the deal. And, you know, in 14, how we made the World Series, we'd have no home run hitters. I mean, as far as like the Yankees or nothing, but we won by playing small ball. Yep. Stealing bases, bunting, advancing the runner. And we're still stealing bases and everything, but my question is, I'm just curious. Isbell got that leadoff triple tonight, no outs. Why wasn't Garcia trying to lay a bunt down? I mean, it worked out. He got a triple. I understand that. Pitched out of the zone and tripled it, but back in them days, I feel like...
Not with nobody out.
Really?
Nobody out and a man on third. I just need you to put the ball in play, and that run should come in. I don't think you're going to sacrifice right there.
I understand it. In my mind, think that's a good time. You had no outs just to get the tying run in. So I just didn't know why we wasn't even attempting a bunt right there. So,
I appreciate it, Brandon. I think that's because Bobby Witt Jr.'s on deck, and if there's any consistent hitter on this team, it's Bobby Witt Jr. So even if Mike Hell doesn't come through, even if he did, what you can't do in that spot, and that's punch out, Bobby's coming to the plate with a man on third and one out. I'm not giving up an out. I wouldn't.
All right.
Appreciate the phone call, Brandon. If it's first and third and nobody out, you lay down one of those bunts, it's an unstoppable play. But bunting is difficult. If Mike Hell pops it up or hits it right back to the pitcher, what good does that do? It's easy to say lay down a bunt. It's tougher to execute a good bunt. Because if it's a poor bunt, then it's a free out, and you still have that man on third with one out and nothing was really accomplished. Why not just let him swing away then? Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. Yeah, you're right as far as that 2014 team. Not hitting home runs. Matter of fact, they were dead last in Major League Baseball in hitting home runs. They were the only team in the sport that didn't hit 100 home runs all season. And there's no doubt about it that the similarities are there in that this team is led by its pitching, its defense, and its team speed. So was that 2014 team. Now, it was a different aspect of the pitching staff. It was the bullpen back then. Now, it's without question this rotation. And what do you say about Michael Wacha? He had his B-minus, C-plus stuff tonight. Base runners throughout. But he made big pitches in big spots. In the first inning, striking out Josh Naylor with the man on. In the fourth inning, with a man on and two outs, he gets Bo Naylor. You know, the work that he did in that fifth inning with Stephen Kwan standing on third base, making sure that he remained at third base and that the deficit remained at only one. Now, Michael Wacha was outstanding. To me, for as great as Sam Long was, for as gutty of a performance as Michael Wacha put forth, you know, the speed of Mike Kell and the speed of Kyle Isbell, to me, this game was won by your outfield defense. To me, and if you were listening to the On Deck show, you know, it was my thought and it remains my thought that if you're going to win this series, your starting pitching, your defense, and your team speed must be supreme. You must have the clear advantage in those three facets if you're going to walk away with three or four. And tonight you certainly did. Now, MJ in left, Isbell in center, Hunter Renfroe in right. All three of them made game-altering plays. Huge defensive plays, aiding Michael Wacha, allowing him to spin 5 1/3 innings of one-run baseball. On the flip side, Cleveland's outfield defense led to those two Royals runs. And those two Royals runs were all they needed, and they walk away with the Game 1 victory. Let's go to Carla in Gardner. Carla, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hi, Josh. First game in, 6 years or more.
Wow.
I listened to him, but...
No, that's fine. I'm glad you're back. It's good to have you back.
Yeah. Well, because it's so exciting this year, and I told my husband, in late April, I said, I really want to go to a game this year, and I want to go before it gets too hot, and I'm so grateful that it was such a beautiful night.
Beautiful, yeah.
And it was just really good weather. I got this really awesome thick slap bracelet. Some people were using it as a koozie. I don't know. There were so many kids there, just an unbelievable amount of kids. I have never seen that many kids. Shirtless kids, mind you.
Yeah, those boys can't wait to take their shirts off.
You can have a good time and get rowdy without drinking beer, right? So,
you're talking about the big boys. Okay, yeah.
The little kids. So many. It must be Little League night or something, but I've never seen so many shirtless kids out there. They were having a good time. I knew when we were playing the Indians, Guardians.
Yep.
We would have it. I'm from Ohio. We'd have a chance at losing. And I thought, it was so much fun even before the sixth inning came around. Maddie got thrown out. You know, it was just a good time. And then we went and won it. That just even made it better. So it just has to be one of the best experiences in Kansas City to go to a Royals game. It is just a really fun atmosphere to go to. And it's just a lot of fun. I had a great time. And we went with 9 adults, 6 kids, and a baby. So,
that's a nice little group. The caravan there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you making the postgame show a part of your night. Thank you very much for calling in, Carla. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. Yeah. Listen, it was an entertaining baseball game. To her point about, even before the sixth inning when the Royals took the lead, it was still a nice time. You're right, beautiful night. You know, that the double play in the fourth inning that Vinny hit into after Bobby hit. By the way, can we talk about Bobby in the first inning, that line drive he hit to left field? Did you guys notice 117 miles per hour off of the bat? That's the hardest hit ball in his career. Well, certainly the hardest hit ball this season. maybe not his career, but certainly the hardest hit ball he's had all of 2024. But I mean, there was excitement throughout. And again, a lot of it had to do with the defense. Hunter Renfroe throwing out Jose Ramirez in that third inning was huge, because Michael Wacha in the second inning needed 25 pitches. He was at 46 pitches through two innings. He needed a quick one in the third. And if Hunter Renfroe doesn't make that throw and get Jose Ramirez at second base on a nice tag by Bobby Witt Jr. as Ramirez overslid the bag, if that play doesn't happen, if they don't get Ramirez at second, who knows if Wacha comes back out for the sixth? Who knows what kind of shape he's in the fifth? Because it was clear he was running out of gas late. Now, Renfroe in the third, Kyle Isbell. 400 feet to right center field up against the wall makes a huge catch. If he doesn't track that down, it's, David Fry's coming around to score. Or at least it's second and third with nobody out, but Izzy tracks it down. Great jump, great roots. And then MJ Melendez in the fifth inning. Stephen Kwan's on third with two outs, and Josh Naylor hits a rope to the wall in left field. MJ Melendez plays it calmly and makes the catch and finishes off Michael Wacha's fifth inning of work. Wacha's gone at least five innings in seven straight starts and in 12 of his 14 outings this season. So defense, base running, starting pitching, that's the difference. That's why this team is 45-38, still very much in the thick of everything. The divisional race, the wild card race, right in the middle of it, because that rotation, when healthy, when whole, is elite. Right? When Michael Wacha is healthy and a part of this rotation, the Royals, through 65 games, have an ERA in the twos. In the 18 games they were without Michael Wacha, that ERA was near six. The run differential with a healthy Michael Wacha, plus 74. The Royals are 11 games above 500 when he's healthy and in the rotation. When he was injured, the Royals' run differential was minus 25, and they were four games below 500. Pitching, defense, team speed, it is the recipe for the 2024 Kansas City Royals. Jake was at the game tonight. Jake, what'd you think of that 2-1 Royals dub?
Hey, man, that was a heck of a game. Had a blast. Sitting up there, I knew you already had Sam Long on. And I was sitting around in the sixth inning when he was going up against Vaughn with the bases loaded. I was telling everybody around me, this is the game right here.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'll be dang if he didn't strike him out and then come back and get Ramirez and Naylor the next inning. Just absolute great pitching game. And, of course, I got to give a shout-out to my boy Kyle Isbell. Great catch and then also the triple to get us going there. So.
Down in the count, 0-2.
Yeah, down in the count. Yeah. He keeps coming through in the clutch, it seems like. So,
appreciate the phone call. Thanks, Jake. Yeah, thanks for calling, man. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Izzy's been on a roll in June. Now, in between days off, because he's, hitting Bobby Witt Jr.'s knee with his face, just getting banged up left and right. He's hitting .286 in the month of June. His OPS is just a hair shy of 800 while playing Gold Glove center field. Now, I'm glad you gave Kyle Isbell a shout-out, and you got to give Sam Long a shout-out. Sam Long, again, tonight, an inning and two-thirds, so records five outs, four of them via punch-outs. Bo Naylor, Jose Ramirez, that burly Noel kid. He's got a big old backyard. And Stephen Kwan, all four of them, go down swinging against Sam Long, who lowered his ERA on the season below two. It's now at 1.98 across 14 appearances. Let's go to Frank in Leawood. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. What's going on, Frank?
What's up? We went to the game tonight as well. It was kids sports night. So my son's baseball team went, and it was a great time. And I think Coach Q got thrown out intentionally, because I think that if you notice after he got kicked out of the game, I think that seemed to turn some momentum. I think he was looking for something to maybe add some extra motivation, get the guys fired up. Because after he got booted, they seemed to put a rally behind that. I think that was kind of a rally thing. And I don't understand that call, because I don't know what Lawson was supposed to do.
Right.
I mean, the third baseman was right in the middle of the pack in the line. He couldn't he's supposed to run him over. He can't run him over. And so he tried to avoid contact, and they still called him out. So it was a bad call in that regard. I mean, he was out of the baseline, but it was a bad call in the sense that there was no other way of doing it. I mean, Lawson had no choice.
Right.
But it was an awesome time. Let's hopefully this can jump some, start something. They've kind of had a stall out here the last 15 games. Maybe this is a springboard into something rally. Win this series, take two more games from Cleveland, and then, you know, you can rally around that. And then, you know, you got, I don't know, a couple series, and you got the All-Star break, and then hopefully we can add a bat or two and maybe an arm or two or whatever and go for the stain.
Great phone call.
They won 56 games last year, and they're going to be on pace to win anywhere from upper 80s to lower 90s. So, you know, this is what we need. This is what the world's need, and this is what this town needs from this team.
Great phone call. Thank you very much. Nice to hear from you. Phone line open up for you, 913-586-7610. Yeah, Royals right now on pace to win 88 games this season. Frank, great job, man. Now, you mentioned their win total from last year. And how they're, 11 away from it already? Can they hit that before the All-Star break? Hang on. Three more with Cleveland, and then a day off, and then three with Tampa, and then you have three in Denver. Okay, yeah, they definitely can. Two against St. Louis, three in Boston. They can match last year's win total before the All-Star break. Tonight, as they were down 1-0 after five, and they come back to win 2-1, it's their 21st comeback victory. That's one more than they had all of last season. My game notes following this, the 21st comeback W of the year. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. All right, let's go back to the phone calls as the Royals get to seven games above 500 and now eight games back of the Cleveland Guardians in the division. We go to Ben in Lee Summit. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, Ben.
Here's the deal, Vern. The bullpen was electric tonight. Sam Long, best outing I've seen him have all year. Just absolutely electric. We're just not going to get it done against these other bullpens. We need to do two things. We need to go sign an arm. I'm thinking Trevor Bauer. And we got to get rid of these City Connects. They're terrible.
All right. We got you down, Ben. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Nick in Gladstone. Nick, you're next up on the postgame show.
Hey, Josh. How's it going?
All right, man. How you doing? I like your voice better.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah. I figured the Bauer clamoring was probably enough for that short period. I was at the game tonight. I think I'm officially a Sam Long truther, a Sam Long believer. You know, I think my overall sentiment from tonight is, you know, I haven't been to a Royals game in a while, in June at least, almost July, where there's 24,000 fans, you know, everyone's invested in the game for as long as they were. So I think, you know, it's just kind of a gratefulness. I know that everyone's kind of been down on the team lately, rightfully so, I suppose. They haven't been playing super well. But it's good to have Royals baseball be competitive, you know, this late in the season. I guess my question for you is, with Sam Long pitching like he did tonight, Walter Pennington's been pretty good in AAA. Do you foresee them calling him up at some point this year, regardless of what trade deadline moves they make, and carrying three lefties in the pen?
Also knowing that Chris Bubich is on his way to that bullpen, I would say in the next, maybe right after the All-Star break, maybe before. You know, I would say yes. You know, odds are on the side of more injuries, you know, happening to this pitching staff. And if Pennington continues to pitch well down at Omaha, yeah, I think he'll get an opportunity. You know, ideally he doesn't, because these 13 pitchers all roll from here on out, but that's highly unlikely, right?
Yeah. No, that's a euphemism. Definitely.
Right. Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Nick. I think so. I think he'll have an opportunity, but again, Bubic is going to be the next one up. You know, Will Klein's on the 40-man roster. You know, that's the next impediment for Pennington is getting on that 40-man roster. But we have, what, 79 games to go? This team's been, let me find some, knock on wood, relatively healthy this season. But you're right, he's pitching his tail off down there. Let's go to Raj in the Ozarks. Raj, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how's it going up there?
All right, buddy, how you been?
Really good. Hey, good, I just called to congratulate the Royals. That was a great listen tonight. I'm jealous of all the fans that got to go to that game. What a pitching matchup that was. Cleveland's bullpen, best in baseball, best since the 1981 Yankees so far. I think it's bullpen, and their bullpen is 2.29.
Wow.
I just want to congratulate the Royals. That's a hell of a win tonight against a great team. And, Vern, I'll leave you with this. Yesterday, the Odyssey went out on us while we were working on a dock down here on the water on the Lake of the Ozarks. And picture this, late in that game yesterday, little poor kid over the neighbor kid watching us work, and his dad looked like he had his dad's old swim trunks on the bank. And I gave him my phone because we had to follow it on ESPN play-by-play. And he's shouting out to us what's going on in that inning. Late, yeah. And he said, yeah. Vinny's got two strikes on him with two outs. And then, where the guys are mumbling and working on the dock, one guy dropped his socket wrench in the water and a few choice words. And then all of a sudden the kid goes, he just hit a single. Bobby scored. And the guy goes, give me the phone. Let me look at it. So very exciting, Vern. So I know it gets rough on you in the call-in show, but I'm telling you what. Let's enjoy every game, especially tonight. What a great win against a darn good Cleveland team. Keep it up, fellas. You're doing great. Thanks, Vern.
Raj, always nice hearing from you, man. And the thing is that they're only getting bigger. From here on out, the remaining 79 games, honestly, every game feels like the biggest game of the season. Now, as I say that, let me catch myself because coming into this series, this big-time series against the first-place Guardians. I don't think there's anyone that would be happy with anything short of a split, right? You want the series victory, but I think we'll be able to digest a split. If you are going to win this series, it certainly felt as if you had to get this one, right? Because to me, tomorrow's the first time and really the only time where I say it's not a clear advantage on the hill towards Kansas City. Now, you know how I feel about Alec Marsh. I mean, I can make a case Alec Marsh is the third best starting pitcher in this rotation. But Tristan McKenzie, to me, has the most dirt in his spikes. He's done the most at the big league level. He's carved up the Royals before. And we've seen him good before. Cole Reagan's going on Saturday. I want that. I need that to be a W. Seth Lugo in the finale. You have your two all-star arms going Saturday and Sunday, so you need those to be wins. Split these first two, and let's win three of four from the first-place Guardians. It's Reagan's and Tanner Bibee on Saturday afternoon. Seth Lugo against the lefty Logan Allen in the finale on Sunday. Hey, before we get out of here tonight, I'll give you a chance to win tickets, or I'll give away a few pair of tickets. That's coming up in a little bit, but I want to keep this party going. Royals win 2-1. They take the opener from the best team in the American League. 2-1 the final score. Royals get it done late thanks to back-to-back triples from Kyle Isbell and Michael Garcia. And then, of course, Vinny Pasquantino coming through again with an RBI in a fourth straight game. Vinny drives in the game winner. Royals get back to 7 games above 500. And we'll get back to your phone calls right after this.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB. And all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
And the 1-2 pitch, Kwan swings and misses and strikes out. He got him with a slider in the dirt. So the one time that Stephen Kwan swung at a pitch in that at-bat was a pitch that was out of the strike zone. So he makes the final out for the second time tonight with the bases loaded.
That's Ryan Lefebvre, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio, and that was Sam Long finishing off the sixth inning. He would come back out in the seventh, punch the tickets of the 2-3-4 hitters in the Cleveland lineup, mind you, a lineup that just went to Baltimore and took 2 of 3, a lineup that just won 7 straight, a lineup that has its team at the top of the American League. They come to Kansas City and drop the opener. Royals take it 2-1, the final score. Keep in mind, following that punch-out that you just heard of Stephen Kwan there in the sixth inning, Sam Long maintains a 1-0 deficit, hands it over to his offense for the bottom half of the sixth inning. Kyle Isbell falls behind in the count 0-2. Ben Lively, the Cleveland right-handed starting pitcher, on 0-2, he throws him a sinker in. Izzy ripped it, to right field, dropped it into gear as well. Right out of the gate, he was going 3. Leadoff triple. Mikel Garcia then steps up, and he takes a 2-1 fastball up in the zone, waits back on it, shoots it to the opposite field, shoots it to the corner in right field. And I'll be honest, Mikel was not thinking triple right out of the box. I think he first thought triple about 50 feet away from the home plate, away from the batter's box. Just before he got to first base, he dropped it in gear, and then he broke off an RBI triple. Bobby Witt Jr. would pop out, but Vinny Pasquantino gets ahead of the count 2-0. And he muscles a 2-1 sweeper away. That's off the plate. He muscles it to deep right center field for the sacrifice fly, plating Mikel Garcia, putting the Royals ahead 2-1. That's all they would need. 913-586-7610, Royals 7 games above 500. We go to Enoch in Spring Hill. You're on 610 Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, I just thought it was a good game, Vern. I just have a question for you. What are your expectations with the rest of the series? I know the Royals got the first game, but like, how about the rest of the 3 games? Are you asking for a split? You asking for all win all 4? Or are you thinking 3-1? What are you thinking, Vern?
Appreciate the phone call. Listen, you know, I coming in, you know, on deck show earlier today, I said I'd be okay with a split, but you should expect, or you should hope, you should cheer, you should demand a series victory. This team's earned that. And now with the rotation back to 100%, now that you have Michael Wacha back, bringing that stability that we haven't seen here since 2016, now, you're strong defensively up the middle with Salvi, Mikel, Bobby, and Izzy in center. You know, your strengths, those things that I spent the first 2 months praising, calling the most powerful weapons in the game of baseball, a rotation, a defense, and team speed. You know, that to me is the ultimate equalizer in Major League Baseball. It levels all playing fields. So, yeah, I wanted a split, but I didn't think it was outlandish to listen to Fesco in the morning or Cody and Gold to the drive and them say, hey, we want 3 of 4. Go win this series. Because despite what the record says, guys, I don't believe that Cleveland is in a different class. I don't. I've argued with CDOT about this. You know, New York, Baltimore, Philly, the Dodgers, fine. I won't fight you. But I just don't see it. I have a lot of respect for Cleveland, but I also have a lot of respect for this Royals team and really this Royals rotation, this Royals defense, and their ability on the base paths. So now that they took the opener and you have pocket aces coming out this weekend, yeah, I want 3 of 4. However you do it, if Alec Marsh wants to come out there and shove like we saw him do against the Yankees, go for it, young man. Yeah, I want 2 of these 3. And I think we all do. I think I speak for all Royals fans. After taking the opener, yeah, you put yourself in a spot now of, man, a split is going to be, you know, that's going to be a tough Monday morning, a split, right? Because a split means you, what, lose the next two and then Lugo saves the day to salvage a split? You know, we'll be upbeat. We won't be ecstatic, though. Now, if you win tomorrow and then lose the last two, we're going to be bumming on Monday. I need 2 of the next 3. Let's go to Shane in Oak Grove. Shane, what do you think? What are you expecting now?
I'm telling you, man, one of my biggest dreams ever was to have the Chiefs be what they are and the Royals be good at the same time. Back in 2014, on September 29th, the Chiefs beat Tom Brady 41-14 on Monday Night Football. The next day was a wild card game. And obviously that's still several months away. But the fact that we have veteran starters like Lugo and Waka, in the first inning, Jose Ramirez definitely went around and he should have been rang up, but then he hits a single and then he didn't freak out. He just keeps his composure, which it's just great seeing veteran stability in the rotation. And then obviously all three of our relievers held the Indians hitless tonight. So I'm just very encouraged, man. And you mentioned the outfield plays by Renfro and Melendez, and that was a long run by Isbell to track down that gaffer. So I'm just – I love the team that Piccolo constructed, keeping only 7 starters from opening day – or 7 of our players from opening day last year. I mean, that's what you have to do. And so I'm just very encouraged. And this is a massive series, but it's huge to come out and get a debut to start the weekend. And Holden, I know Josh Naylor doesn't have a great average, but he hits bombs and he's a good player. So to keep him down is vital.
No doubt. Great phone call. Appreciate it, Shane. Royals have won 3 of 4. Michael Wacha's allowed 2 earned runs or fewer in each of his last 7 starts. Let's go to Yost in Kansas City. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how you doing?
I'm great, man. How you been?
Hey, I've been good. I tried to come see you at the pregame show, but I missed you, and it happens. But today's my birthday.
Happy birthday, brother.
The Royals won. The Royals are going to take 3 from 4. I'm calling it now. We're going to do it. All they need to do is just keep the line moving, and we're going to do something. It's a special team. We're Championship City. And that's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to listen off the air. I'll talk to y'all soon, Vern. You're the best, man.
Well, you're the best, man. I love that dismount of we're a championship city. You know, you want to talk about a difference between now and 2014. Nobody was saying we're a championship team in championship city in 2014. No, it was, I don't know. I'm not going to the game because something's going to happen. Eventually the clock will strike midnight, Vern. But then all of a sudden, you know, you win a wild card game. Haas and Moose hit home runs in Anaheim. Patrick Mahomes shows up on the scene. And all of a sudden, we're building stadiums left and right. The World Cup's coming here. Man, oh, man. Great job, Yost. Let's go to Jack in Olathe. Jack, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I moved here 6 years ago. And we've been to a lot of Royals games throughout the years. This year, or this whole season, has been the best season of the whole Royals, or my whole Royals games.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to lose today because we've always been on a losing streak whenever we came. So I thought we were bad luck, but luckily we won. Kudos to all the pitchers and all the hitters. Kyle Isbell and Michael Garcia started us off, gave us a huge environment. Glad that 24,000 people came into the stadium. It was just a good environment today.
Well, Jack, that's a great phone call, and we need you back now, man. Now that you're good luck, now that you're picking up W's, we need you back to the ballpark. So whoever brought you, make sure they bring you again. We need you out here, buddy. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. Jack mentions Kyle Isbell. He spoke with the media moments ago. Let's head inside the Royals clubhouse and hear from the Royals center fielder who went 1-for-3 with that leadoff triple in the two-run sixth inning. He scored the tying run. Let's hear what Kyle Isbell had to say to the media, including the microphones of Bally Sports, Kansas City.
Yeah, I know. I hit it pretty well. I didn't really have the best angle on it. I'm just going hard out of the box, and whatever happened, happened.
The decision, it seems like between second and third, you kind of stumbled right mm-hmm. together. Do you think you might?
Yeah, I thought I was going to go down for a second. Got my feet back under me and was able to make it.
When you look at the offense today, being able to start that energy of that sixth inning, how important was that to kind of help you get a win against the Guardians that you're trying to chase in the AL Central?
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. I mean, both offenses were trying to get going. As a pitcher's duel tonight, both of the pitchers were incredible. Their bullpen's really good. Our bullpens stepped up tonight, and it was a good game.
You mentioned the bullpen stepping up. What was your viewpoint from Sam Long coming in there? What before did you guys went through in the sixth inning?
I mean, it was incredible. I mean, the energy those guys came out with and to execute pitches in those situations was fun to watch.
Did you get a sense that there's, with this crowd tonight on the Thursday night, that there was a little bit of a different electricity in the air?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Cleveland's the best team in our division for now, and there's a lot of energy.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Kyle, did you hear that? Oh, baby. Oh, hey now. I like that. Way to catch yourself. Oh, that just fired me right up. Yeah, Cleveland's the best team in our division. Pause for now. Way to go, Izzy. You know, that's something I expect to come out of the mouth of, well, I was going to say a veteran, but you know what? Kyle Isbell's the third longest tenured Royal. So, yeah, I guess it should come out of his mouth. Way to go. Royals win 2-1. Let's go to Vicky in Shawnee. Vicky, you're on 610 Sports Radio. How are you?
Wow, what a game. We will win every game from now on because our pitcher read the batter and our batters started to read their pitcher. Like the other day when Denny said that on the air, that is how we are going to win the World Series this year. If we do that, we will win forever.
Go ahead, Vicky. Thank you for the phone call. I mean, Izzy, Vicky, oh, we're fired up on a Thursday night. Let's keep it going. Oh, you know what? Let's head back inside that Royals clubhouse. We heard from Izzy, who hit the leadoff triple in the sixth inning. It was followed by an RBI triple from Michael Garcia, who I understand has been going through it here in the month of June. But did you know that Michael is hitting .303 with runners in scoring position? He ties it up in the sixth inning. He had this to say after the game. Again, Bally Sports, Kansas City with the audio.
Great, you know, help the team trying to put the ball in the air and just bring the run into home.
When the offense, you know, is trying to manufacture runs and, you know, get on the board, how big is it to do that against a team like the Guardians that you're chasing in the AL Central?
Yeah, we have to go compete those four games and trying to get this series because we need it and we have the team to compete every night.
Michael, at what point are you thinking triple? Like how quickly out of the box are you thinking triple there?
One time I hit the ball, I just think I'm going three. That's what I say on my mind.
Immediately?
Yeah.
You watch Sam Long come into the game. When you see him have that impact like that he did tonight, how much did that fire up the guys in the dugout?
Yeah, I think the energy he bring when he get this inning, that's important in the game. And he come at the bullpen, get those guys out, and that was important in that inning.
took us through Izzy's triple, too. You're obviously watching it from pretty close range. What'd you think of Izzy's triple, too?
Amazing. I was ready for the situation. If he get in second, I just moved the run into third, but he got in third, so that's my opportunity to get RBI.
There you go, Michael Garcia, again, courtesy of Bally Sports, Kansas City. Let's go to Garrett in Olathe. Garrett, you're next up on the postgame show as the Royals double up the Guardians 2-1.
Thanks for taking my phone call, Vern. You know, I was very furious with the call at third base. And after that, I was like, okay, we're still in this game, one run and nothing. But I know that the Royals can come back. And I saw two stats. I saw one that says, if the Royals are in a – if they score four or less or within four games, they have the most wins in baseball and that they like to play the tight games. And I have one more question. I'll listen off air. Do you think that right now that Sam Long is the best reliever we have? I'll listen off air.
I appreciate the phone call, Garrett. Listen, I mean, that's a pretty tough question to ask when the dude punches out four – you know, huge spots, biggest spot of the game. And he calls into my post-game show. I mean, I don't want to say no, but no. No. Again, this doesn't end well, guys. I mean, if you were listening on this recent road trip, someone called in and said, Vern, how would you stack up this bullpen? 1-8. You know, what does your totem pole of relievers look like? Your confidence meter in order? And I, you know, it took a while, but gave him my answer. And the guy that I said this right now is my favorite reliever. I think this guy is the best arm they have. It was less than 24 hours later that guy was giving up a lead. That guy was giving up 2-3 runs. So, yeah, for now, I mean, sure, you could say Sam Long, but you know, James MacArthur picked up the save, his 14th of the season. Angel Zerpa, Will Smith's been rolling of late. It's nice that there are multiple options. So I'll answer your question by saying no, but I'm not going to give you who I would claim as number one because I don't think there's a clear number one. But I don't want to dodge a question. James MacArthur is still my answer. I'm still going James MacArthur. That was not my answer on the road trip. I said someone different, but now I'm going back to the general. Let's go back to Kansas City. Let's talk with Clark. You're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals are back to 7 games above 500.
What's up, Bern? First of all,
what's up, dude?
Love the show.
Thanks, man.
Earlier today, I was at Whataburger, and I saw Bobby Witt Jr., and I told him we needed a win, and so they got that done.
Way to go. Good job. Thank you.
So my question is, do you think Q starts going in the 7-8-9, Long, Schreiber, MacArthur? That's kind of like the set, unless something changes. Or what do you think Q goes with from now on, 7-8-9?
I think it's always been a matchup bullpen, and it will remain a matchup bullpen. You're not going to see 7-8-9 because you don't have HDH, right? You don't have three guys that have earned a set role. I'm just hemming and hawing for the past 5 minutes about, is Sam Long the best? Who's the best? Is there a best? Appreciate the phone call, Clark. I'm not dodging that question. I just don't believe that there is three arms that, well, we're ahead. Here you go. Boom, boom, boom. Thanks for playing. I know that's how it went tonight. 9-up, 9-down for Long, Schreiber, and MacArthur. Keep in mind, Schreiber's been used quite a bit. So, and look, I mean, you know, Sam Long's likely, I don't want to say that. I mean, you have other lefties that you can go to tomorrow as there's, you know, this Cleveland lineup isn't going anywhere. You're going to need Will Smith and Angel Zerpa. You're going to need these lefties in big spots throughout the weekend. So I would expect all three of them to come in and face Stephen Kwan in a big spot, to go up against Jose Ramirez and a Josh Naylor.
All three of them. Will Smith, Sam Long, and Angel Zerpa. Sam Long got the job tonight. Got the job done tonight, most certainly. Appreciate the phone call, Clark. 913-586-7610. I still got to give away a pair of tickets. I'll do that coming up. But I want to get back to your phone calls and head back inside that Royals clubhouse. We'll do it all after this.
And the 2-1 pitch. Garcia swings and lines it up the right field line. That is down for extra bases. Isbell jogs down from third. Here's Garcia around second. Here's the relay. He is in there. And the Royals have back-to-back triples in the bottom of the sixth to tie the game.
Oh, that's a great call. Ryan Lefevre, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. That's all they would need. 2-1 after that RBI triple. Excuse me. That is incorrect. That RBI triple from Michael Garcia knotted things up at one apiece, as Ryan just told you. No, they would need a little bit more. They would need Michael to make that 90-foot stroll down to home plate, and Vinny Pasquantino made sure that happened as he takes a 2-1 sweeper that's out over, but on the outside third of the plate. He muscles it to right center field for a sacrifice fly. Vinny, by the way, drives in his 18th go-ahead run. That's second most in Major League Baseball behind only Aaron Judge. I was going to say who's clearly the best hitter in the American League, and then I see Gunnar Henderson on the television. Royals win 2-1 as the bullpen makes that two-run sixth inning hold up. Makes that one-run lead after six hold up as Sam Long shuts the door as he comes in the sixth inning with two on and one out. Strikes out Bo Naylor. And after walking the nine hitter to load the bases, he gets Stephen Kwan swinging through a slider in the dirt. Long comes out in the seventh and retires the 2-3-4 hitters in that Cleveland lineup in order, needing just 13 pitches. John Schreiber needed only 12 to do the same in the eighth. James MacArthur did them all better, needing only 8 pitches to pick up his 14th save of the season. Tomorrow, it's Alec Marsh going opposite Tristan McKenzie. It's a 7:10 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock with your chance to win tickets to see your boys in blue. Let's go to Steve in Kansas City. Steve, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
What's up, Vern? This is my first time calling on the postgame show. I am a two-time three-strikes champion, though, so I've been around a long time.
Nice flex. I like it. What's going on?
I missed the three-strikes. That's okay, but my wife and I were...
Well, most people aren't good at it. That's the problem. Most people aren't good at it. That's why I had to shorten it. I need more people like you, Steve.
Two time, man. But one time was at Harrah's at the Voodoo Lounge or whatever. I don't know where you were. But anyway.
A win's a win, baby.
Win's a win. But my wife and I were at the game tonight. We were sitting right behind third base, so we had all the action. We had Q getting thrown out on purpose,
hype up
the crowd. And then we had the back-to-back triples. And the other night when we hit two back-to-back dingers, man, those are fun. But back-to-back triples, man, that gets the crowd going. And it's nothing's more exciting than back-to-back triples.
100% so, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, the stolen base and the triple. Two of the most exciting plays in baseball.
It's fun, man. This is a great time to be a Royals fan. And I'll listen off the air, but this team's got us fired up and good fan base, electric crowd tonight. So thanks for everything you do, man. You're great.
I appreciate that. It's nice of you to say. Royals crowd, great tonight. Nearly 24,000 in attendance on a beautiful Thursday night. They see the boys pick up win number 45. Led again by another solid outing on the mound, this one from Michael Wacha. Royals starting pitchers have allowed one run or fewer in each of the first four games on this homestand. They've combined to allow three runs in 24 and two-thirds innings. Let's go to Double J. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Double J, how you doing, buddy?
Doing not bad, man.
Good.
Awesome one tonight. What a game tonight. Wacha, I mean, the two triples by Michael and Isbell were awesome tonight. And how about Sam Long and this bullpen? Just a great win and awesome that we won yesterday. Yesterday was my birthday, and going to try to get...
Hey, happy birthday, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Vern. And
what birthday are we celebrating? You got to tell me.
Say what?
What number birthday are we celebrating?
33. The big 33.
My man. Looking good. Way to go.
But yeah, I'm going to try to get out to the game this weekend on Saturday, and for Bo Jackson, I agree what you said on the pregame show. There's no way why we can't win 2 out of 3, or at least split with them. Hey, icing on the cake and ice cream would be a sweep. So ooh, hey, let's go, Marsh,
birthday
Reagan's
ice cream,
and Lugo this weekend. Let's go, Vaughn.
I like it, Double J. Way to go, buddy. Thanks for the phone call. Let me go to the text line real quick. Text line 913-586-7610. Richard from Riverside. Vern, we have to get the bats going. Do we have any bat that we can bring up?
No. No, you do not.
You know about Nick Lofton and Drew Waters. You've seen Nate Eaton before. No, you don't. These are the guys. These are the guys that are going to get it going. But when you have an upper echelon rotation, an elite defense, and exceptional team speed, you can get by being a middle-of-the-road offense. The 2014 team was a middle-of-the-road offense with an upper echelon bullpen, elite defense, and supreme base running. It can be done. It might be tough to win the division with a middle-of-the-road offense or a below-average offense. It might be tough to win the division, sure. But you can get in the postseason still, no doubt about it. It's going to be tough to win the division if you don't split this series. And the Royals took a gigantic step towards doing at least that with tonight's 2-1 victory. Katie in North Carolina, she's wondering if it was Matt Quatrero's sixth inning rage or if it's just the boys in blue rallying as they always do. I hope that this is the start of a Guardian regression. Signed, Katie. Yeah, and did you catch what Steve said? Steve, I caught that where you said Q got thrown out on purpose. That's like the third or fourth person to mention that, whether it's on the text line or the phone calls. Is that what you guys think? I've already got my answer, and the answer is yes. I didn't think that. Q doesn't strike me as that guy. I'm not acting like I'm buddies with her. I know him all that well, but I've talked to him quite a bit over the past 2 years, and he just doesn't, I don't know. I'll talk to him tomorrow, Adam, but I haven't learned anything about Q that would lend me to believe that he's faking anything. That just doesn't seem like the kind of guy that he is. He's the kind of guy that, in my opinion, would say, if the guys need me to get thrown out to get going, then we got some issues. I think he was frustrated because what the heck is Nick Lofton supposed to do in that spot? Now, if you missed it, Lofton's on second base with two outs. Hunter Renfro hits a ground ball to the third baseman, Jose Ramirez, who charges is the wrong word, but, goes to field the ball and has to attack it. And as he's attacking the ball, he runs right through the baseline. Nick Lofton's not going to run into him and run into an out. He's not going to stand still on the base path and wait for Jose Ramirez to run through the base path and field the ball. So he continues to run and kind of bananas behind Jose Ramirez, dives to the bag, and is safe. But he's called out because he left the base path. And then Matt Quatrero ran as hard and as fast as I've ever seen him run. I didn't cover him as a player, but I've never seen him run like that before. Ran all the way out there to third base and gave him the business. Gave third base umpire Tripp Gibson the business and got thumbed for the second time in a month. A few more from the text line. 913-586-7610. Don't forget, when you text in, you can always have your text messages read the next morning on Fesco in the Morning as they poke fun at us. Elliot from Des Moines writes in, Vern, outstanding metal exhibited by the boys tonight. They made a statement against a juggernaut coming off a series against a bottom feeder. Glad we made the trip down for this one, no doubt. Safe travels back, Elliot. Thanks for listening. Yeah, great point, too. Honestly, I think it reflects, your point actually reflects in a more positive light on them taking 2 of 3 from Miami. Right, when you have this series looming on the horizon, you could look past Miami. And whether they were or were not, they took 2 of 3 from the Fish and they got the job done. But Elliot, I appreciate you listening. Larry writes in, he's curious about possibly bringing in Zach Greinke as a relief arm. Well, Larry, it's not out of the realm of possibility. You know, I've heard that Greinke was throwing like a month ago. I haven't asked anybody about him. But I think you give Chris Bubich a look first. Let's see what he can do. I don't know if you're that, respectfully, I don't know if you're that desperate just yet, that you need to look outside the organization at a free agent. Well, of course you're that desperate. Let me take that back. I think you have in-house candidates that I would like to get a look at before Zach Greinke. Now, would I prefer giving Zach Greinke a chance over trading someone within the organization? Yeah, sure. But the relationship that this organization has with Zach Greinke, I would imagine that nobody's more up on what the future Hall of Famer's doing and what he has left, more so than J.J. Piccolo and this team. It would be nice to see him get to 3,000, no doubt about it. John in Olathe's pretty happy about this 3-1 start to the homestand. Rally Mantis is, of course, celebrating the fact that Matt Quatrero got thrown out. Q's a lot like Jay Binkley, a lot like my wife, where they love managers screaming, they love fights, they love all those histrionics that you often see on a baseball diamond. Dan and KCK's hoping that this continues into Alec Marsh's start tomorrow. Yeah, I can't wait to see that. Scott in Phoenix says, Kyle Isbell keeps growing on me. I love him in the 9 spot with Garcia right behind him. Vern, let's get another win tomorrow. Yeah, that speed threat of Isbell, Garcia, Bobby. Again, that's one of the strengths of this team. That's why I think this team can, and honestly has, played with anyone. Now, don't tell me about the New York's. You know what? I really don't want to hear about any series that didn't include Michael Wacha in the rotation. Because without that stable rotation, this isn't a playoff team. But when they have that starting five, when they have their rotation at 100%, again, they're an 11 games above 500 ball club. Chris in Kansas City. Vern, do you know what I love? I love that people are not leaving the ballpark in the fourth and fifth inning anymore. They're waiting until the very last pitch because you never know with this team. Yeah, Chris, you're right, and they earned that, right? They've earned that with their resilience, with their pitching, defense, and team speed, because that makes 80-85% of the games close. You're going to be in it in the sixth inning, in the seventh inning, in the eighth inning, in the ninth inning. It's going to be close, even if you're down. But because of that pitching, that defense, and that team speed, you're going to have a chance. A bloop and a blast, not so much. A bloop, a stolen base, you laid down a bunt, and then a sack fly. Yeah, that's Royals baseball in 2024. Caden is coming around on John Schreiber. That's nice to see. Jeff in Kansas City points out that all four of Josh Naylor's at-bats ended in inning tonight. Yeah, you're right. A punch-out ends the first. A ground-out ends the third. A hard-hit fly ball ends in MJ Melendez's glove to finish off the threat in the fifth. And then, yeah, Sam Long's final out of the night, a ground ball to end the seventh inning. Yeah, no doubt, Jeff. Thanks, man. Kathy in Los Angeles, I'm right there with you, loving what you heard from Kyle Isbell. What he said, yeah, hey, big series. Cleveland's the best team in this division for now. Kathy, always appreciate you listening. All right, well, as promised, I have tickets to Saturday's game, Bo Jackson Hall of Fame celebration. I got two tickets to it. It's about 11 o'clock. If you're listening right now, let's just say first caller. First caller to 913-586-7610. The tickets are yours. How about that? 913-586-7610. I'll be listening throughout this series. I'll have tickets to give away each and every on-deck show and each and every post-game show. Tomorrow night, it's Alec Marsh and Tristan McKenzie. It's a 7:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the on-deck show beginning at 6 o'clock with your chance to win Royals tickets. And then as you make your way home, keep it right here on 610 Sports Radio for another chance to win. Thanks to Nathan Williams for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks to the pitching, the defense, and the team speed. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB. And all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
And the 2-1 pitch. Garcia swings and lines it up the right field line. That is down for extra bases. Isbell jogs down from third. Here's Garcia around second. Here's the relay. He is in there. And the Royals have back-to-back triples in the bottom of the sixth to tie the game.
Oh, that's a great call. Ryan LaFever, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. That's all they would need. 2-1 after that RBI triple. Excuse me. That is incorrect. That RBI triple from Michael Garcia knotted things up at one apiece, as Ryan just told you. No, they would need a little bit more. They would need Michael to make that 90-foot stroll down to home plate, and Vinny Pasquantino made sure that happened as he takes a 2-1 sweeper that's out over, but on the outside third of the plate. He muscles it to right center field for a sacrifice fly. Vinny, by the way, drives in his 18th go-ahead run. That's second most in Major League Baseball behind only Aaron Judge. I was going to say who's clearly the best hitter in the American League, and then I see Gunnar Henderson on the television. Royals win 2-1 as the bullpen makes that two-run sixth inning hold up. Makes that one-run lead after six hold up as Sam Long shuts the door as he comes in the sixth inning with two on and one out. Strikes out Bo Naylor. And after walking the nine-hitter to load the bases, he gets Stephen Kwan swinging through a slider in the dirt. Long comes out in the seventh and retires the 2-3-4 hitters in that Cleveland lineup in order, needing just 13 pitches. John Schreiber needed only 12 to do the same in the eighth. James MacArthur did them all better, needing only 8 pitches to pick up his 14th save of the season. Tomorrow, it's Alec Marsh going opposite Tristan McKenzie. It's a 7:10 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock with your chance to win tickets to see your boys in blue. Let's go to Steve in Kansas City. Steve, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
What's up, Vern? This is my first time calling on the postgame show. I am a two-time three-strikes champion, though, so I've been around a long time.
Nice flex. I like it. What's going on?
I missed the three-strikes. That's okay, but my wife and I were...
Well, most people aren't good at it. That's the problem. Most people aren't good at it. That's why I had to shorten it. I need more people like you, Steve.
True time, man. But one time was at Harrah's at the Voodoo Lounge or whatever. I don't know where you were, but anyway.
A win's a win, baby.
Win's a win. But my wife and I were at the game tonight. We were sitting right behind third base, so we had all the action. We had Q getting thrown out on purpose,
hype up
the crowd. And then we had the back-to-back triples. And the other night when we hit two back-to-back dingers, man, those are fun. But back-to-back triples, man, that gets the crowd going, and it's nothing's more exciting than back-to-back triples.
100% so, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, the stolen base and the triple. Two of the most exciting plays in baseball.
It's fun, man. This is a great time to be a Royals fan, and I'll listen off the air, but this team's got us fired up and good fan base, electric crowd tonight. So thanks for everything you do, man. You're great.
I appreciate that. It's nice of you to say. Royals crowd, great tonight. Nearly 24,000 in attendance on a beautiful Thursday night. They see the boys pick up win number 45. Led again by another solid outing on the mound, this one from Michael Wacha. Royals starting pitchers have allowed one run or fewer in each of the first four games on this homestand. They've combined to allow three runs in 24 and two-thirds innings. Let's go to Double J. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Double J, how you doing, buddy?
Doing not bad, man.
Good.
Awesome one tonight. What a game tonight. Wacha, I mean, the two triples by Michael and Isbell were awesome tonight. And how about Sam Ron and this bullpen? Just a great win and awesome that we won yesterday. Yesterday was my birthday and going to try to get...
Hey, happy birthday, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Vern. And
what birthday are we celebrating? You got to tell me.
Say what?
What number birthday are we celebrating?
33. The big 33.
My man. Looking good. Way to go.
But yeah, I'm going to try to get out to the game this weekend on Saturday. And for Bo Jackson, I agree what you said on the pregame show. There's no way why we can't win 2 out of 3. Or at least split with them. Hey, icing on the cake and ice cream would be a sweep. So, hey, let's go, Marsh,
Reagans,
and Lugo this weekend. Let's go, Vaughn.
I like it, Double J. Way to go, buddy. Thanks for the phone call. Let me go to the text line real quick. Text line 913-586-7610. Richard from Riverside. Vern, we have to get the bats going. Do we have any bat that we can bring up? No. No, you do not. Now, you know about Nick Lofton and Drew Waters. You've seen Nate Eaton before. No, you don't. These are the guys. These are the guys that are going to get it going. But when you have an upper echelon rotation, an elite defense, and exceptional team speed, you can get by being a middle-of-the-road offense. The 2014 team was a middle-of-the-road offense with an upper echelon bullpen, elite defense, and supreme base running. It can be done. It might be tough to win the division with a middle-of-the-road offense or a below average offense. It might be tough to win the division, sure. But you can get in the postseason still, no doubt about it. It's going to be tough to win the division if you don't split this series. And the Royals took a gigantic step towards doing at least that with tonight's 2-1 victory. Katie in North Carolina, she's wondering if it was Matt Quatrero's sixth inning rage or if it's just the boys in blue rallying as they always do. I hope that this is the start of a Guardian regression. Signed, Katie. Yeah, and did you catch what Steve said? Steve, I caught that where you said Q got thrown out on purpose. That's like the third or fourth person to mention that, whether it's on the text line or the phone calls. Is that what you guys think? I guess I've already got my answer, and the answer is yes. I didn't think that. Q doesn't strike me as that guy. I'm not acting like I'm buddies with or know him all that well, but I've talked to him quite a bit over the past 2 years, and he just doesn't, I don't know. I'll talk to him tomorrow, but I haven't learned anything about Q that would lend me to believe that he's faking anything. That just doesn't seem like the kind of guy that he is. He's the kind of guy that, in my opinion, would say, if the guys need me to get thrown out to get going, then we got some issues. I think he was frustrated because what the heck is Nick Lofton supposed to do in that spot? Now, if you missed it, Lofton's on second base with two outs. Hunter Renfro hits a ground ball to the third baseman, Jose Ramirez, who charges is the wrong word, but, goes to field the ball and has to attack it. And as he's attacking the ball, he runs right through the baseline. Nick Lofton's not going to run into him and run into an out. He's not going to stand still on the base path and wait for Jose Ramirez to run through the base path and field the ball. So he continues to run and kind of bananas behind Jose Ramirez, dives to the bag, and is safe. But he's called out because he left the base path. And then Matt Quatrero ran as hard and as fast as I've ever seen him run. I didn't cover him as a player, but I've never seen him run like that before. Ran all the way out there to third base and gave him the business. Gave third base umpire Tripp Gibson the business and got thumbed for the second time in a month. A few more from the text line. 913-586-7610. Don't forget, when you text in, you can always have your text messages read the next morning on Fesco in the Morning as they poke fun at us. Elliot from Des Moines writes in, Vern, outstanding metal exhibited by the boys tonight. They made a statement against a juggernaut coming off a series against a bottom feeder. Glad we made the trip down for this one, no doubt. Safe travels back, Elliot. Thanks for listening. Yeah, great point, too. Honestly, I think it reflects, your point actually reflects in a more positive light on them taking 2 of 3 from Miami. Right, when you have this series looming on the horizon, you could look past Miami. And whether they were or were not, they took 2 of 3 from the Fish and they got the job done. But Elliot, I appreciate you listening. Larry writes in, he's curious about possibly bringing in Zach Greinke as a relief arm. Well, Larry, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I've heard that Greinke was throwing like a month ago. I haven't asked anybody about him. But I think you give Chris Bubich a look first. Let's see what he can do. I don't know if you're that, respectfully, I don't know if you're that desperate just yet that you need to look outside the organization at a free agent. Well, of course you're that desperate. Let me take that back. I think you have in-house candidates that I would like to get a look at before Zach Greinke. Now, would I prefer giving Zach Greinke a chance over trading someone within the organization? Yeah, sure. But the relationship that this organization has with Zach Greinke, I would imagine that nobody's more up on what the future Hall of Famer's doing and what he has left, more so than J.J. Piccolo and this team. It would be nice to see him get to 3,000, no doubt about it. John in Olathe's pretty happy about this 3-1 start to the homestand. Rally Mantis is, of course, celebrating the fact that Matt Quatrero got thrown out. Q's a lot like Jay Binkley, a lot like my wife, where they love managers screaming, they love fights, they love all those histrionics that you often see on a baseball diamond. Dan and KCK's hoping that this continues into Alec Marsh's start tomorrow. Yeah, I can't wait to see that. Scott in Phoenix says, Kyle Isbell keeps growing on me. I love him in the nine spot with Garcia right behind him. Vern, let's get another win tomorrow. Yeah, that speed threat of Isbell, Garcia, Bobby. Again, that's one of the strengths of this team. That's why I think this team can, and honestly has, played with anyone. Now, don't tell me about the New York's. You know what? I really don't want to hear about any series that didn't include Michael Wacha in the rotation. Because without that stable rotation, this isn't a playoff team. But when they have that starting five, when they have their rotation at 100%, again, they're an 11 games above 500 ball club. Chris in Kansas City. Vern, do you know what I love? I love that people are not leaving the ballpark in the fourth and fifth inning anymore. They're waiting until the very last pitch because you never know with this team. Yeah, Chris, you're right, and they earned that, right? They've earned that with their resilience, with their pitching, defense, and team speed, because that makes 80-85% of the games close. You're going to be in the sixth inning, in the seventh inning, in the eighth inning, in the ninth inning. It's going to be close, even if you're down. But because of that pitching, that defense, and that team speed, you're going to have a chance. A bloop and a blast, not so much. A bloop, a stolen base, you laid down a bunt, and then a sack fly. Yeah, that's Royals baseball in 2024. Caden is coming around on John Schreiber. That's nice to see. Jeff in Kansas City points out that all four of Josh Naylor's at-bats ended in inning tonight. Yeah, you're right. A punch-out ends the first. A ground-out ends the third. A hard-hit fly ball ends in MJ Melendez's glove to finish off the threat in the fifth. And then, yeah, Sam Long's final out of the night, a ground ball to end the seventh inning. Yeah, no doubt, Jeff. Thanks, man. Kathy in Los Angeles, I'm right there with you, loving what you heard from Kyle Isbell. What he said, yeah, hey, big series. Cleveland's the best team in this division for now. Kathy, always appreciate you listening. All right, well, as promised, I have tickets to Saturday's game, Bo Jackson Hall of Fame celebration. I got two tickets to it. Yeah, it's about 11 o'clock. If you're listening right now, let's just say first caller. First caller to 913-586-7610. The tickets are yours. How about that? 913-586-7610. I'll be listening throughout this series. I'll have tickets to give away each and every on-deck show and each and every post-game show. Tomorrow night, it's Alec Marsh and Tristan McKenzie. It's a 7:10 first pitch. I'll be on the air with the on-deck show beginning at 6 o'clock with your chance to win Royals tickets. And then as you make your way home, keep it right here on 610 Sports Radio for another chance to win. Thanks to Nathan Williams for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks to the pitching, the defense, and the team speed. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands. Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star ballot is open. Vote up to five times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos.
So I said, no, I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.